and bearing witness that there is no deity but him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah peace and prayer shed upon him, his companions, his household, and whose followers to the day of judgment. We stopped the last time at verse number 8. And we're done with verse number 8. Now we are going to start today from verse number 9. And verse number 9, actually, here verse number 9, until verse number 13 describes something called battle. What kind of battle? Is it an imaginary battle in our heads, or is it a real battle that takes place all time, all places? This is a real battle that takes place. Takes place between the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his soldiers, and the ones who love him, and between the shaitan and his soldiers. This battle takes so many forms, and takes so many, there are so many stories about different styles of battles and different forms of battles all over the Quran. One form of this battle is the form of a person fighting with himself or herself when he or she hears the alarm for the Fajr prayer. That's a battle. Okay, can you imagine this battle? 5 o'clock in the morning and the alarm is beep, 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 beep. What is happening inside you? Isn't it a war? The war between what? Two sides. One side is telling you, stay, the bed is comfortable. You know, stay in bed, you don't have to get up, you're tired, you'll get headache. And the other side is telling you, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Prayer is prescribed on believers as an obligation. So get up and pray. So that is one form of the battle. This battle inside takes, expands sometimes and goes outside as a battle between a group of people who are rallying around a concept or a principle, which is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, versus people who are rallying around the concept of temptations and materialistic benefits and achievements, which are the Satan's and his soldiers. And this battle happens all the time. It happens with all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will continue to happen until the day of judgment. Either between the individual and himself or herself, or between different individuals, or between two different groups, or between two different nations, or between two different, the bottom line is that there are two sides to this battle. Now let's see this particular style described in Surah Ibrahim from verse 9 to 13. Let's say here, verse 9. Verse 9 is giving us an example of a story of the people who came before us. Nuh, Wa'ad, wa Thamud, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, and others like them. These are just names, and these names don't mean anything. The story is the same, repeating itself over and over and over again. What happened? How does the battle start? The battle starts by messengers, which are human beings like me and you and like them, come to them and tell them, come to them with the signs of Allah, with the word of Allah, and tell them, this is the guidance of Allah, we are the messengers of Allah, your way of life is wrong, what you believe in is wrong, and the way you're living your life is wrong. And then what we want you to do is to take the guidance of Allah, which is right here, whether it's written or spoken word, and make it real life. Implement it in your life. Practicing it in your life. So here we go. جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Their messengers come to them with the true signs. فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Like this. فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. When you talk and you talk with a loud voice and you make your hand, you know, go back and forth in front of your mouth so that people can hear your voice from far away distance. This is a way to magnify the voice. In the old days, before inventing the microphones, people would magnify their voice like that, by doing like this. فَرَدُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, by doing this movement. And this visual picture that the Quran is describing means what? Means that they are telling to the messengers, what you say, we hear what you say, but we are not accepting it. And they are not saying that in a shameful way, that they are ashamed of what they say. No, they are saying it in a loud way. You know, they don't have any shame. They are saying it and they are saying, yeah, we hear what you're saying, we don't accept what you're saying. And we're not going to practice what you're saying. We listen and we disobey. And they are saying it in a very loud way and they are proud of this. You know, it's not like somebody who's doing something in secret ashamed of it. And this is exactly what happens. When people fight Islam, they don't fight Islam quietly. They fight Islam with full pride and say, you guys are wrong. And you guys are not saying the truth. And you guys want to put us in trouble. And you guys are this and that. And this is exactly the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing in this surah. And then they say, we are rejecting. وَقَالُوا إِنَّا كَفَرْنَا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ. We totally reject everything that you brought with you. وَإِنَّا لَفِي شَكْ. And then they start raising doubts about them. How do I know that you are saying the truth? Prove to me. I don't think that you are a true messenger. First of all, aren't you a human being like me? Yes. Why would you have something more than what I have? You have the same two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth. Why do you receive revelations that I don't? So you are a human like me. So I just don't accept this fact. And another thing is that, how come you are the slave and I am the king? How come I am the rich and you are the poor? How come, if you are right and I'm wrong, then how come I have more slaves than you, more wealth than you, more power than you, more pleasure in my life than you? Isn't that an indication that you're wrong and I'm right? And indeed, this has been used all over the place. Like for example, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كَانَ هَذَا خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ. The non-believers say, oh, look who followed Muhammad. The slaves and the poor are the ones who followed Muhammad. Indeed, if there is any goodness in what Muhammad says, then who should follow him? The slaves and the poor or the elites? They are saying, their logic is like the rich and the elites, right? And another verse, أَنُؤْمِنُ بِكَ وَاتَّبَعَكَ الْأَرْذَلُونَ. Do you want us to believe into you? And only the lowest among us are the ones who followed you and believed into you. Your followers, one or two rich people, and the majority of them are poor and slaves and, people are that miserable people. أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ خَيْرٌ مَقَامًا وَأَحْسَنُ نَدِيَّ. In Surah Maryam, they say, compare the two groups, the one who followed them, you and the one who followed, and the one who was following our way. Which fariqain, which two groups, ahsanu maqaman, more elite status, more powerful status, and more and better parties and better gatherings, and attract better quality of people. And they use that as an evidence to prove, to discredit and to raise doubt about the believers, Pharaoh about the messengers.
Pharaoh said to Musa, you don't even have golden bracelets.
Yes, he doesn't even have a golden bracelet. How can you be a prophet without having a golden bracelet? That's something funny, because that's exactly their criteria. Their criteria is, materialistic criteria. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different criteria. Then they started raising doubts about what they say. So the qalat rusuluhum, verse number 10, the reply comes. So that was an attack from, first of all, the messengers presented to the bad people, to the misguided people, the message of Allah. So they responded by raising doubts about them and rejecting the message. So now it is the turn in verse 9 for the messengers of Allah and the soldiers of Allah to give them back a message. Which وقالت لرسلهم أفي الله شك. Are you doubting Allah? And then they want to bring something very essential in our lives, to say that Allah has created. They could not find anything better than heavens and earth, right? Because they are so big and so directly in contact with us. Yeah, we can talk about many other things, but the earth, which is your floor, which is a safe floor, and the skies, which is a safe roof, and both of them created by Allah. And you have doubts in the greatness of the one who has created these heavens and earth. يَدْعُوكُمْ. He is inviting you. He's calling you. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكُمْ. He wants to forgive you. وَيُؤَخِّرُكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And he wants to postpone you until the appointed time, which is the day of judgment, where you're going to be judged about your sins. But from now until the day of judgment, you will be faced by nothing but forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You are nothing but humans like us. تُرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَصُدُّونَ عَمَّا كَانَ يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا. You just want us to change the religions of our forefathers. Arrogance. And you face this today. It's like, if you, those miserable Muslims, you want to say that they have the truth and we don't, If they have the truth, then how come they don't have what we have? They don't have the money that we have. They don't have the technology that we have. We don't have the power that we have. The arrogance is like, what we have is better than what you have. Otherwise, what brought you in here? Why did you come in here? Huh? Tell me. Why? What are you doing here if you have something better than what we have? Why did you have to line up in front of the American embassy and take the visa? Why did you have to come over here and spend the night overnight in front of the immigration office if what you have is better than what I have? Why? Indeed, what I have is better than what you have. This is why you're here, and this is why you're dying to get the green card and to stay here. And otherwise, what you have should make you better than me and should not make you come to me, and I should go to you. You see what I'm saying? This kind of logic. أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌّ فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُؤَخِّرُكُمْ إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى قَالُوا إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا تُرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَصُدُّونَ عَمَّا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا. And then the challenge is, فَأْتُونَا بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Bring to us a miracle. Show us a proof that you are true messengers. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides himself behind a veil called the veil of reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to prove that He is in control of the reasons and the reasons are not in control of Him, He break these reasons with miracles. Just like when Maryam alayhi salam, the angels told her, you're going to have a boy. What did she say? She said, how can I have a boy? I'm not touched by a man. I'm not married. The angel said, these are all reasons. And Allah is more powerful than these reasons. Allah doesn't need a reason to give you a boy. Right? It is just like, but unfortunately, Allah covers up Himself by veils. One of these veils is the veil of reasons. So instead of seeing Allah, we see the reasons instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of that, the very famous example, that your child goes to college out of town and you send him a check every month to cover his or her expenses. And instead of he or she calling you to thank you for the check, he or she is calling the post office or thanking the mail person. So now you call your son and you say, hey you, why don't you call daddy and mommy to thank me for the check that I've sent you? Your son will say, daddy, come on. Every time I hear the post office, the mail person knocking on the door and giving me the check. So I take his hand and I kiss it. I say, thank you very much for the check. You say, hello, anybody's here? Do you have brains or are you dumb? The check is coming from me or from the mail person? You should thank who? Me or the mail person? The mail person is the reason through which I'm sending you the what? The check. But the mail person is hiding me behind. The father who's sending the check, right? So this is exactly the situation in this life. Allah is hiding himself behind these reasons. But at the same time, Allah is saying, don't believe into the reasons. Believe into me, the God of the reasons. Don't believe into the medication. Believe into the God of the medication. Don't believe into the doctor. I don't mean to point to you. Don't believe into the doctor. Believe into the God of the who? Doctor. Right? So, but if you take off the glasses of faith from, you see only the veil of reasons, and you say, I believe into the medication, I believe into the doctor. No. Put back the glasses of faith on your eyes, you'll be able to see beyond the veil. And you will be able to see Allah, which is the mastermind behind the veil. And you're going to be to say, I believe into the God of the medication and I believe into the God of the doctor. So Allah once created reasons to hide himself behind. But to prove to us that he is more powerful than these reasons and he controls them, they don't control him. Every once in a while he gives us a miracle. A baby without a father. An ocean that is split into two halves. Isa alayhi salam, he fashioned with clay a bird. He breathed into that bird and the bird flied. Ibrahim alayhi salam cut birds into pieces with the knife, put them in different mountains, and they got gathered together. And they came flying to him, claiming their heads. He kept the heads in his hands. And he put the birds in the mountains. The birds gathered themselves into full pieces, and they came flying to him to claim their heads from his own hands. So they came flying to him without heads, and then they claimed their heads from his hands. So he saw that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that he is above these reasons, and he's in control of these reasons because he's the one that is created these reasons. So they asked for such a demonstration. فَأْتُونَ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. At the end of verse 10, they are asking for a miracle, which is a demonstration by Allah that He is more powerful than the reasons, and He can get things done without the reasons, the normal reasons, which is the miracles that they are asking for. So the messengers reply. So right now, the messengers reply, which is verse number what? 11. Here is verse 11. The messengers are replying, saying what? They are, now it's a war by what? The war always starts by what? Tongue. Or does it start with guns? Between the messengers and the enemies of Allah, starts always with tongue. And then the next step after the tongue is what? Use of violence. Why? Because who wins the words? Who wins the war of words? Or the war of the tongue? The messengers always win the war of the tongue. Why? Because they have the beautiful, strong logic of the truth on their side. So they always win the war with the tongue. But as soon as they win this war, the enemies of Allah, they start using another thing, another tool that they are very good at. And they have more of it than the messengers of Allah, which is the what? The weapons, the violence, torture, the force. Exactly. They start using force in response. Just like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why is this whole thing is brought into Prophet Ibrahim? Because he had his own battle. Remember? When he destroyed the idols. And then they first questioned him, brought him. First of all, they said, who did that? They say, a radical boy, رَأَيْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We have heard about a radical boy. Fata. Fata يَذْكُرُهُمْ. A radical boy. See the way they are talking about him? The Quran is very accurate. A radical boy. فَتَى يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. His name is Ibrahim. قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ. Send the forces, send the soldiers, send the police to arrest him and bring him in a big show. Not quietly kidnap him, no. In a big show so that everyone is noticing what is happening, so that people get afraid. People are terrorized because they are seeing somebody who is being arrested in this, in such a humiliating way. And then when they bring him, they start, first of all, the verbal war. مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِأَلِهَتِنَا أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِأَلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمْ. Are you the one who destroyed our idols? Huh? So he replied and he said, no. كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. You know, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. The biggest one, and he meant of course his thumb, but he was pointing to the biggest idol. كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. The biggest one did it. فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. Ask them. Ask him. Ask him. He's right there. He's right there. Because he put also the hammer. He put the axe in his hand. Ask him. He's right there. So they went to ask the biggest idol and then said, wait a minute, you idiots. Where are you going? You're going to ask him. He doesn't talk. So they said, if he doesn't talk, if he doesn't move, then how can we worship them? If they can't defend themselves against a young boy, then how can we worship them? You see? So who won the war of logic and the war of words? Ibrahim. Then they started to resort to force. They said, harriqu. The verdict was issued. Not in favor of the logic, in favor of the sick logic. Because this is always, they use the muscles that Allah has provided for them. And they said, burn him. Now, what do you need to burn one person? To burn one individual, what do you need? I mean, how much fire do you need really to burn one person? Probably that a pile of wood, that much, right? Okay? Or to kill one person, probably a knife, stab him or something. Or choke him like that. I mean, it's easy. But no. Because there are always an army of anger that defends these idols. There's an army of anger that defends temptation. There's an army of anger that defends shaitan. And this army of anger, every time you, the reformer, tries to mess up with any of the shaitan business, this army of anger is going to be launched in your face. It's a very huge, strong army of anger. The army of anger will not be settled just to burn you by a small fire. No, that's not enough. What? They brought a huge fire, a a complete valley. They cut, look how much wood they cut to create such a fire. They said that the birds, when they used to fly on top of these fires, they used to barbecue in air and fall into that fire. This is only for one person? Do you need that much fire for one person? Yes, it's the armies of anger which are serving the Satan and defending the will of the Satan. That is the army of anger. And then they had to throw him from far away distance into that thing. And we know, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him victory? There are always two ways to give victory, two models. The first model is the model of superpower victory that was given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That superpower model victory doesn't happen very often. That only special prophets of Allah get this kind of victory. Prophet Muhammad became a superpower. And Muslims became a superpower. And they spread Islam all over the world because they were superpower. But this doesn't happen very often. At that point, the model that was a victory that was given to Prophet Ibrahim is the same model like that was given to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, which is destruction of the believer. The Prophet himself doesn't become a superpower, but destruction of the non-believers, the people who did not believe into him, Allah will destroy them with a flood, or Qawm Ad, Allah will destroy them بالصيحة, or فأما تمود فأهلكوا بالطاغية وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية. Ad with a very strong storm that killed them, ثمود أهلكوا بالصيحة, and all of this ways of destruction and punishment to the people. Okay. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to give Prophet Muhammad a different kind of victory, which is to make him a sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to make him a superpower? There was always a question of how to solve the problems of the world today, where the world today is dominated mainly by the values of the Satan, which are temptations and materialism. And that question, why are people killing each other and stealing the wealth of each other, and wars are here and there, and few people are rich and the majority of the people are poor and starving? What is happening? In order to enforce moral values, or the values of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah loves, we need some kind of a righteous superpower, like a police. What happens if we take the police away from Evansville? What is going to happen if the police is not in Evansville? People are going to do what to each other? Kill each other. The police has to be there to enforce what? Enforce justice, enforce moral values, right? And protect your properties and protect my properties, so that I can take your property, you can take my property. And if we fight with each other, they separate us and they prevent us from attacking one another. You know what I'm saying? So this has to be a police force. This police force, you can think of it as a righteous superpower, right? A righteous superpower that is policing Evansville to prevent people from going corrupted and following the Satan. Right? And this is exactly what should be. This is the model that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for the world. Allah knows that the Satan has his own army of anger. And his soldiers are rewarded. The Satan pays his soldiers by temptations. He gives them temptations and pleasures and power and money and easy life and easy money and all of these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that the only way to keep the world in good order is to have a righteous superpower. What is a righteous superpower? A group of believers who are dedicated to fight for nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fight for nothing but justice. As Allah said, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضَعْفِينَ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ وَالنِّسَاءِ يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل من لدنك من لد واجعل لنا من لدنك سلطانا مبينا الذين آمنوا يقاتلون في سبيل الله والذين كفروا يقاتلون في سبيل الطاغوت. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying, why don't you fight to defend the poor people and the slaves of men, women and children who are crying to Allah, oh Allah, we are oppressed, we are helpless. The Satan has a strong army and is slaving us, and we don't have any way of defending ourselves. Why don't you Muslims fight for the sake of Allah to free them and to defend them and to bring to them justice and fairness and good life? And then the next verse is saying that believers fight for the sake of Allah, which is fight for idealism, fight for justice, fight for moral values, and non-believers fight for the sake of the Satan. Basically, fight for materialism, fight for strategic interest, fight for political control, fight for power, fight for oil, or fight for money. this is why believers fight and why non-believers fight. So Allah subhanahu, that's the model. So Allah decided to give Prophet Muhammad superpower, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, superpower victory model, so that Muslims police the world. And they did. And they did make the world a way much, 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 much better place than it was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. And they did work like a police, enforcing justice and enforcing righteousness. And they were a righteous superpower. So it's a model that happened before. And it is the same model that will solve the problems of the world today. They always ask us, you know, people who are Americans, who are angry about wars, who are angry about injustice, who are angry about racism, they always ask, what is the solution? What is the solution? They think that the solution is to bark in the desert. Bark in the desert, basically very few individuals voice their opinion, which is against this. And this is nothing but barking in the desert, because nobody listens to them, and nobody hears them. بِهَوْهَوْ فِي الصَّحْرَيَانِ. Okay? Go ahead.
So why God didn't use the same model with the previous prophets?
He did it with other prophets. The first prophet who did jihad, and he was given the superpower model, was Prophet Idris, alayhi salam. He was the first prophet ever to do jihad. And other prophets before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this model before. And they were able to defeat, to conquer the soldiers, the army of anger that defends the shaitan and defends the values of the shaitan, and become a superpower. Prophet Sulaiman and Dawood alayhi salam also was a righteous superpower, policing the world. Righteous superpower. So that model happened. But for in the case of Ibrahim, that wasn't his victory. His victory was like Prophet Noah, like Lut, like Ad, the destruction model, to destroy the bad people after giving them the message clearly. That wasn't the superpower model. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own compelling wisdom that we cannot understand, because we don't know as much as He knows. But anyway, these are the models of victory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here in this surah demonstrating again the same story. The story of Ibrahim, this battle of Ibrahim, similar battle. The prophets replied in verse number 11. They said what? Yes, indeed. Are you saying that you are accusing us to be normal human beings like you? We accept this accusation. We admit it. Yes, yes, we are normal human beings like you. قَالَتْ لَهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ إِنْ نَحْنُ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Yes, sure, we're humans like you. Who said that we are not humans? And you are asking us for miracles. Who told you that we can bring you miracles? وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَمُنُّ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي. Allah is the one who chose us to deliver the message. And we are just human like you, but we are chosen by Allah to deliver you the message. وَمَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نَأْتِيكُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We cannot bring you a miracle without the permission of who? Allah. So we are humans like you, yes. We can bring you miracles, maybe if Allah will give us the permission and the power to do so. Other than that, we can't. You know? And Allah chose us. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Then they are stating a quality that everyone needs to have, which is the trust of Allah. That we do our homework by our own muscles, but our heart has to do the spiritual homework, which is to depend on Allah. So, but we have to finish our homework, materialistic homework, using our own muscles. الأخذ بالأسباب. Do the reasons, respecting the reasons that Allah has created. And then once we did our homework, our hearts are always trusting and depending on Allah. But don't misunderstand that and say, for example, okay, let's say you are a non-Muslim and he's a Muslim. You are a non-Muslim who studied for the chemistry test very well. Okay? And you did all your homework. And he's a Muslim, but he did not study for the test and he did not do his homework. But he says, I depend on Allah. Who's going to get the A? You, the non-Muslim. Who's going to get the F? He's a Muslim. How come? Because he was wrong. He did not understand what does it mean to depend on Allah. To depend on Allah means to do your homework. اعقلها وتوكل. To do your homework using your what? Your muscles. توكل is the job of the muscles or the job of the heart?
Heart.
So don't confuse both. You do your homework using your muscles. Okay? And your energy. And then depend on Allah using your heart. So this is why Prophet Muhammad told them, اعقلها. Tie the camel using your muscle. That's your materialistic homework. And then tawakkal on Allah, depend on Allah using your heart. Don't mix the job of the muscles with the job of the heart. Okay? So they are saying, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. We are depending on Allah, on the results, but we are just doing our homework. God gave us our homework, which was to go and give you the message. And we did our homework, right? But we are not expecting any result without His permission. And we have no trust in anybody except Him. So we trust Him, we are depending on Him. And we believe into Him. Go ahead. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. This is at the end of Surah Al-Ankabut. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Those who struggle in our cause, I will guide them to my way. Because people, when they start working for Allah, it's very confusing and it's very challenging. And they don't see the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel right away. No one sees. Neither Prophet Muhammad. Did Prophet Muhammad saw the end, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did he see the light at the end of the tunnel when he started? No. He just depended on Allah and started doing his homework. And as he planned ahead as much as he can, as much as he possibly can. Okay, but how much can he possibly plan ahead? A year maximum, if he is good, really. But he depended on Allah. Who sent him the people of Medina? Allah. Who made them believe into him? All Arabs were pagans. No single Arab was willing to accept the concept of a God in the world of the unseen, or a messenger coming from God. All Arabs were materialistic pagans. Why did the people of Medina accept the idea of a prophet coming from God in the world of the unseen? Unseen God sending a prophet. Why? Why?
Because the Jews already spread the news.
Who prepared the people of Medina to accept the concept of a messenger of God coming from the unseen God? The Jews of Medina. How many Jewish communities were in Medina?
Three.
Three. Why they were in Medina? Because the Torah tells them that the prophet is going to show up where? In Medina. So they came to Medina and they had three settlements. Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, and Khaybar. They were four communities. Four communities. Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, Banu Khaybar, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, Banu Nadir, and Khaybar. Four communities. Four fenced communities. Fenced with, surrounded with castles. And they were teasing the Arabs, telling them, there will be a prophet coming to this land. We will follow him and become a superpower and rule over you. And if you resist, we will kill you. And they used to tease them. Generations over generations, they used to tease them. So the people of Medina, unlike any other Arabs, they were ready to accept the concept of God and the world of the unseen, sending a prophet down. So how did Allah prepare the people of Medina to support His Prophet? Using His enemies. Using the Jews. And as soon as they heard Prophet Muhammad in Medina saying, I am a Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I am a Prophet of Allah, and He's sending me with the truth. They said, this is the Prophet that the Jews are telling you about. Let's believe into him first. Let's believe into him first before they believe into him and they become a superpower and rule over us. Let's believe into him first. And they jumped onto him, and then when they listened to him, Islam came into their heart. Otherwise, the Prophet Muhammad was singing day and night to all kind of people, and people were not even willing to listen. Who prepared that? Just like Sister Mimi said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. When you start doing your homework and struggle for the sake of Allah, Allah will send you the victory. Allah will send you. You just plan as much as you have ahead. And start doing the work and make the dedication and the commitment to that. I will dedicate whatever it takes. Either I reach to the end of the tunnel or I die. And then start working. You have hard days. You will be stoned in the Ta'if like Prophet Muhammad was stoned. You will be tortured. You will be persecuted. Sure. It is what? Who else? Tell me who else didn't go through this battle. Tell me. You are better than who? You're better than Prophet Ibrahim or Prophet Muhammad or Prophet who that was saved from that battle. Every one, single one of them had to pay the price of being a reformer. But at the end, a victory comes from Allah. Either this kind of victory or this kind of victory. So Here we go. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And then look at the trust that they have in Allah. A verse documenting how much trust they have in the support of Allah. They are saying, and you imagine who is talking. You are talking about an army of anger. An army of anger fully loaded with tools and weapons confronting how many are the soldiers of Allah. قَالَتْ لَهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ Probably how many messengers? 3 messengers? 4 messengers the most? And how many followers of those messengers? How many? Maximum. Probably the max is 10. The best guess and the best tafsir is whatever is 10 people here on this side versus an army of anger. Ready. An army that has no fear to Allah. Ready to kill and massacre. Look, who is talking? Those helpless, poor, outnumbered people are telling them with full trust, وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ Why don't we depend on Allah? Why? Because if Allah is on your side, can you ever be a minority if Allah is on your side? Can you ever be weak if Allah is on your side? No. Go ahead.
Yeah, the big difference, you know, like with the believer that, you know, that is being put through the fire, like the answer comes from Allah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, Kulna yanaru.
Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. That's the model of victory, that Allah has changed the fire and made the fire not to burn. Look at the victory, how Allah is supporting His Prophet.
I mean, in the middle of the fire can be peace and coolness and, you know, even an oasis in the desert for
right.
The believer. You know, even in His fire.
But before Allah orders the fire, there's a story behind that is very beautiful. That when Prophet Ibrahim was flying in the air, they took off all his clothes. He was naked. And they threw him into the fire, chained. And when he was flying into the air, falling into the fire, the angel came to him and he told him, Ibrahim, do you need anything from me? Ibrahim said, from you? No. But from Allah, He knows what I need. Look how much trust. Allah immediately responded by an order to the fire, Ya Naru, O fire, be bardan, be cool. And if Allah say cool only, Prophet Ibrahim would have been frozen like a chicken. But bardan wa salaman. Cool and safe. Ala Ibrahim. You know, every time, you know that these tools are all soldiers of Allah and servants of Allah. The fire, the mountains. You know, every time a person who's a non-believer is walking between these mountains. The mountains are so jealous on Allah, that the mountains are telling to Allah, Oh Allah, let me crush his bone. That stubborn, bad person who's not believing into you, let me crush his bones. And the earth is saying, Oh Allah, let me crack and swallow him and suck him into the boiling lava to burn him and to melt his body and stone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the earth and tells the mountains, Did you create him? You did not create him. And because you didn't create him, you don't have mercy for him. Because Allah has mercy and justice. Justice means you make a mistake, Allah will send a light, strike you with the light right away. You make the mistake now, you get the light right away. That's justice. But Allah deals with us with mercy. You make the mistake. The earth wants to swallow you. The mountains wants to crush you. Allah says, no, you cannot do that. The angels wanna take you. Allah says, you don't do that. If you have created them, you would have mercy on them. لَوْ خَلَقْتُمُوهُمْ لَرَحِمْتُمُوهُمْ اتركوهم. And Allah gives us mercy and patience and waits on us until we repent. So all these soldiers of Allah are so jealous on Allah, are ready to serve Allah. If you turn away from service of Allah and say, no, I'm afraid, I'm going to serve myself. I want to serve myself and my children. And if you turn away from your job and you refuse to serve Allah, Allah has so many soldiers around to serve Him. And if He wants to get the job done, He will get it done like that. But He wants you to do it because He wants to separate. He wants to draw a line between the people of Jannah and the people of Hell. And the only way to draw this line and to divide people into Jannah and Hellfire is by going through that test. So Allah can do it, yes. but he's not going to do it. He would want you to do it if you want to be from this group. So here we go. وَمَا لَنَا أَن نَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Why don't we depend on our God and trust Him? And we are sure of the victory. وَقَدْ هَدَانَا سُبُلَنَا. We are going, He has guided us to the way. And He has guided us to the truth. But the key word is, the key word is, وَلَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا أَذَيْتُمُونَ. We will be patient with whatever persecution and torture and punishment you're going to give to us. Because once you say the truth, the army of anger that defends the shaitan is going to punish you. It's going to punish you. No way that army is going to let you. Because you messed with the shaitan, the big god of evil, the god of deception, the god of falsehood. So you messed up with him, he's going to send his army of anger to punish you. But how do you face that? Sabr, patience. وَلَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا أَذَيْتُمُونَ. Put 10,000 line. There was a brother one time, he came back from the jail. He gave dawah, and he was arrested, and they took him to the jail, and they beat him so bad. Okay, and then they let him go out. So when he went out, he had two black eyes and so many marks on his body. So the brothers hugged him and kissed him, and they said, this is the receipt. This is the receipt for Jannah. You have paid the price for Jannah, and this is the receipt. Congratulations for having the receipt. That is the receipt. You know, and sometimes this receipt, Allah gives you victory through that. You know, I remember the story of this man. Who knows this man? This story I can never forget. Who knows this man? The one who did him the biggest favor is who? The guy who killed him. You know why? First of all, he made him a hero. Before, when he was alive, you know, he was a famous writer. Before he actually goes to jail, nobody knew about him. Once he goes to jail, he became a hero. And people, Sayyid Qutb, Sheikh Sayyid Qutb. To the extent that even in Pakistan, you go to Pakistan, you say Sayyid Qutb. When the president visited Pakistan, they told him, why are you putting Sayyid Qutb in jail? They told him that. So he made him a hero. Not only he made him a hero, but also when he killed him, he made him a superhero. First of all, his books are more alive today than when the Sayyid Qutb is more alive today than he was alive when he was actually alive. Do you believe it? He gave him the biggest favor. Number one, he made him a martyr. And he gave him Jannah. Number two, he made him more alive than when he was actually alive. And he made him a hero. Now, let me ask you a question. Was that his intention? When he put him in jail, when he executed him, was his intention to make him a hero? Of course not. Isn't that victory? I swear by Allah. This is the victory of Sayyid Qutb. It's in every house. And everyone knows him and read it. He's dead. To the ignorant naked eye, oh poor he was killed. Excuse me, poor he, poor us. He's swimming in the rivers of Jannah right now. Poor us that we are staying on this earth and he's swimming in Jannah right now. Poor he, poor us. I wish we go to the place that he is in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept him among the martyrs. This is number one. Number two, who is among us is a hero like him? Are you a hero? Do people know you as a hero like Sayyid Qutb?
I wish.
You wish. Who doesn't wish to be a Sayyid Qutb today? I wish to be in the position of Sayyid Qutb. Why? Victory. But to the naked ignorant eye, oh, he was killed. Poor he. Oh yeah, poor he. I wish we are all poor he. You see what I'm saying? You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory? Gives him victory, but by what? By me. Actually, if I am the enemy of Sayyid Qutb and I want to destroy him, I wouldn't do the stupid things that the president did. I would first of all arrest everyone except him. I will leave him outside. And then I will spread the rumor about him that the only reason I'm leaving him outside because he works with me. He's a spy. Okay?
Don't give him the land.
I'm telling you, but he was so stupid. He made him a hero and he made his books everywhere. Why? Because Allah wanted to make him a victory. By executing him, he made him a hero. He made his books more alive than he was alive. So subhanAllah, this is the victory. This is another model of victory. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They plan and plot and Allah's planning and plotting. But who's the best in planning and plotting? Allah. He uses their own planning and plotting to give victory to his own religion. Just like the Jews. He used the Jews to prepare the people of Medina to accept the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used the enemies of Islam who killed Sayyid Qutb to make Sayyid Qutb a hero and make his books alive and make his ideas alive than when he was actually alive. So that's another way of victory. وَلَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا أَذَيْتُمُونَ. But this victory comes after what? After he spent from 1954 in jail until he was executed in 1966. 12 years in jail before he achieved that victory. 12 years of patience in jail before he achieved that victory. وَلَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا أَذَيْتُمُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Again, super emphasize that you depend on Allah, you never lose. It's a win-win situation. It's a win-win situation. قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِمَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. You are waiting that our destination is going to be either a victory or a victory. Either we win the battle or we win Jannah. What else do you want? What else do you want? Either you win the battle or you win what? Jannah. Win-win situation. So this is indeed what the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to His own soldiers. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ. Now, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ. Now verse 12. Firing back. After the believers have won the logic. Now, the use of force starts right here. Can you read the use of force? Can you use the threat? Verse 12.
No reason have we why we should not put our trust on Allah. Indeed.
The ayah after that. 12. I'm sorry, 13. 13. I'm sorry, 13.
And the unbelievers said to the messengers, be sure we shall drive you out of our land, or you shall return to our Lord. But their Lord is
far. Now use of violence, use of force. Listen you boys, the bull. Now bullying the world, bullying the way. The soldiers and his army, the soldiers of the shaitan and the army of anger that protects the shaitan is saying, of course, like the bully. And this bully, this bull is fighting small, tiny army that belongs to Allah. 10 people or 5 or 1 or 2. Saying, you have two choices too. Either you go back to our way of life and our religion, or you are going to be kicked out. Thrown out. أَوْ لَتَخْرُجُنَّ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا. Now, when the... So, as far as the verbal debate is gone, believers are winners. But now comes the use of force. Aha. What are you going to do? نَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا أَذَيْتُمُونَ. We'll be patient. فَأَمْهِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَمَهِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. Yes. لَنَصْبِرَنَّ. Patience. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Allah immediately interfered at that point. Why interfered at that point? Because the messengers are helpless. They cannot do anything more than that. That's it. That's all what they have. They have done they have accepted the employment of Allah as messengers, and they have delivered the message, and they are going to receive the punishment for what they have done. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ لَنُهْلِكَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah told them, don't worry. I am going to apply the model of destruction on the ظالمين. I'm going to destroy them. And after I destroy them, they will leave behind what? Homes, right? And they will leave behind what? Money. And they will leave behind cattle, right? Who's going to inherit them? You're going to inherit them. وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. You're going to live in their homes, eat their food, and enjoy what they have. It's yours. Why? Why do you deserve such a beautiful reward in this life and in the hereafter? Because ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِي وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ. This is verse 14. Because this is a reward to the one who fears my greatness and who fears my threats. He takes my threats seriously. When Allah is threatening hellfire, He's serious. He's very serious. Allah doesn't joke. Some people think, I don't think Allah is going to make a surprise in the hereafter and say everyone's going to heaven. I was just scaring you so that you become good boys and girls and listen to me. No, Allah is not going to do that. Allah is very serious when He gives a threat. وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ. Fear, again, fear of the greatness of Allah and fear of the punishment of Allah. This fear is what protects us from the crossing the boundaries. Now, the second, this is the camera, is going to leave the battlefield now. Okay, the war is done. Done in this life only, but there is a stage two, the result of the war now. The victory. What is the victory? Start from verse 14. The first snapshot or the first scene of the victory is that Allah has destroyed the bad people and the good people are living in their own homes and they are using their cattle and their money. That is the first form of victory. Okay. Second form of victory is, this is only in this life, but how about in the hereafter? And the hereafter is what? Listen to this picture in verse 15. وَاسْتَفْتَحُوا وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. It is now in the court of Allah. It is now in the day of judgment. It is now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his court. And the stubborn non-believer, Jabbar Anid. Who is the Jabbar Anid? It's the leader of the army of anger. It is the king that was transgressor. It is the one who is leading this army. The one who is leading this campaign. This is the Jabbar Anid. He is going to be brought specially. He is like the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh of the army that serves the shaitan. Bring him, Jabbar Anid, the mighty stubborn. The mighty stubborn evil person. Mighty in power, stubborn in brain. You know, stubbornness is kind of stupidity. You know, a person is very stupid if he or she is very stubborn, right? So that person is what? In terms of power, he's mighty. Jabbar. In terms of talent, he's what? Stubborn means stupid, right? So imagine that somebody is like having, we always say, أَيْسَامُ الْبِغَالِ وَأَحْلَامُ الْعَصَافِيرِ. It's like the body of the body of the very strong lion and the brain of a very small bird. So, Jabbar Anid, stubborn, stupid. Allah will bring him that Jabbar Anid in the day of judgment. And then verse 16, look at the picture. The picture now in the day of judgment, seeing this Jabbar Anid is brought in the court of Allah. And imagine how much humility and how miserable is his condition when he is brought into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of all mankind. That man that led the war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he made himself an enemy of Allah, and he challenged the words of Allah, and he challenged the messengers of Allah, and the message of Allah, and the religion of Allah. He's now coming. مِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. Jahannam, the monster that eats human flesh and stones. A very scary monster. مِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ. Verse 16. And he is giving a drink. He is given, offered a drink. What kind of a drink? A drink is made of liquid that is sadid. How do you translate sadid? Medical doctors, sadid.
Rusty?
No, ma'in sadid. Sadid اللي بينزل من الدمامل والقروح والجروح.
Bas.
Yeah, that's the ugly, filthy, liquid yuck that is made, that is boiling, that is his drink. So his being barbecued by hellfire, and from inside that what he drinks. And then listen to this visual, very, very visual picture. Imagine somebody is given a cup of sadid. And then this sadid is boiling. And then he is forced to drink it. He doesn't have the choice not to drink it. He doesn't have the choice to throw it away. No. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. You know, imagine يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. See, the picture here is horrible. In Arabic, يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. The pronunciation of the music of the word itself is very disgusting. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ. See the words? Pronunciation of music of the words? That he is drinking it. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ is different than drinking.
Sipping.
It's like when you are drinking something with extreme hardship. What do you say that about this in English? What's the word when you drink something with extreme hardship and extreme pain and extreme suffering?
Dysphagia.
Dysphagia? Is it called dysphagia? يتجرعه.
Swallowing sip by sip.
Yes, he's drinking with extreme pain and extreme suffering.
And disgust.
And this.
Is it here in gulps? Will he sip it?
In gulps.
But never will he be near.
ولا يكاد. Yes, it's like a description. You know, just imagine this feeling when you're drinking such a disgusting liquid. Ah, man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this picture to so that the believers, when they are facing this war, they can read that and they say, Alhamdulillah, I will have this victory. I will be the friend of Allah on this day, and he's going to be the enemy of Allah. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. And death is going to come to him from every possible direction, and he's not dying. Why is Allah saying that? The worst condition is the condition at the time of death. سَكَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ. The worst pain that you can ever get in your life is the pain of the drowsiness of death. And Allah is saying that he is dying, but he's not dying. Means that he's having the pain of death, exactly the pain of death, and more, but he's not actually dying, because it's not going to end. Because
if he dies, it would be relaxed.
Yes, that's the end of it. But there's no end. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتِ. He's going to have this pain continuously. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ عَذَابٌ. And behind him, waiting for him, ahead of him, عَذَابٌ غَلِيظٌ. Look at the word غَلِيظٌ. It's like a very thick punishment, a very thick fire, a very thick burning. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ عَذَابٌ غَلِيظٌ. And then we ask a question. How about the people who followed him, but they have done good deeds? Like the people who write a check to the what? United Ways? And the people who write the checks to Salvation Army? And the people who stop in the freeway and help others, but they don't believe in Allah? How about their good deeds? It's like, it becomes systematic that we hear this verse very often, that those who believe in Allah and His messengers and do good deeds. How about the good deeds that those people do? Where do they go? This verse will answer the question about the good deeds that the people, those kind of people do, is going to happen what? مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَلُهُمْ. Their good deeds, the people who don't believe in Allah, their good deeds are like what? Karamat. It's like a dust. You know, not dust. Ashes.
Ashes.
Karamat. اشتدت به الريح. Very strong wind and storm. في يوم عاصف. لا يقدرون على كسبوا مما شيء. Can you, in the wind, gather the ashes and protect them in a safe place? This is exactly what Allah says. لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء. They cannot collect their earnings and benefit from it. Because, why? Because it's like ashes in a very stormy day. All their good deeds is gone. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعَيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Those who are misguided in this life, thinking that they are doing very well. أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Those who denied Allah subhanahu, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the day of judgment, and Allah will make their deeds go away. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. This is indeed the worst form of misguidance. Now, the final scene starts from right here, from 19 to 27. And we will go through it quickly and we will conclude with that. Because, yes, 35? Oh, okay. Then well, I think we will
finish now
then, because it's 9:35, so that we can get to the prayer. But inshallah, the results, how about if you read the results on your own, because this would be my last time before going to Egypt. And basically what you need to read is the scenes of the Day of Judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is finalizing this battle. So basically the message is, look at this battle here that you're seeing right now. It's not going to end in this life. Even if it ends in this life, that's not a true end. It is going to end when? In the Day of Judgment. You want to see the end? It's coming. This is how it ends in the Day of Judgment. The one who laughs, من يضحك كثيرا يضحك أخيرا. The one who laughs best is the one who laughs last. So wait until the scenes of the Day of Judgment, where you see the actual conclusion of this battle. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. Any questions?
You said there will be
reward. Allah.